Hey, a big shout out to bigpipe.co.nz for sponsoring this episode of The Male Gaze.
It's not just a beautiful website, they're also a broadband internet provider. And when you sign up for a 12-month plan, you get a free modem, baby.
Whoop whoop! You don't have to pay for that modem because it's free, baby!
It's free and it's beautiful and sleek and white. It looks like Eve from the movie WALL-E.
I love a sexy modem, to be honest. Same. Because they're in the house, you can't ignore them.
Same, but they're quite big. You don't want them looking bad. You want them fitting in with everything around it.
You want it to look like a sexy, sleek mini fridge.
Yeah, that's exactly what this is. It does not store beers or chorizo or whatever you'd want to store in a mini fridge.
Chorizo?
Yeah,
I guess you put that in the fridge.
Recently, I've been snacking on little.
What life you live in?
I've been snacking on little lunch salamis / chorizos. Okay.
This ad is getting out of control. But hey, thanks, Big Pipe, for sponsoring this episode.
More than chorizo.
I'm sorry, Mom. It's not a phase.
And welcome to this week's episode of The Male Gaze. I'm Chris Parker.
And I'm Eli Mathewson.
Have we ever introduced our names?
Yes, we have. I hope so.
Like the first episode.
Imagine if someone's been listening to every single episode and they're like, finally, I know who these people
dying
are.
Dying to know their names.
it's so nice to talk to you, Chris. I'm in Invercargill.
And I'm in Christchurch. We're both in South Island.
We are. And there's been earthquakes today.
Really? I have not felt. Was there the earthquake in Invercargill? There was
one in Invercargill, and then there was also one in Seddon that you could feel in Wellington, and I thought maybe you would have felt that one.
No. I haven't felt any quakes.
Oh, well, good. Good for you.
Obviously, the gays are not causing them strong enough.
Yeah, we need to be having more sex. And as Brian Tamaki says, that will lead to more natural disasters because we're bad.
The only natural disaster is his genes, am I right?
And his hair.
And his hair. In fact, that's an unnatural disaster.
you know what he's really bad at as well? Spelling and grammar. And
really?
Do you know what, though?
Yes, so am I.
You are.
I'm not going to hit him up on that.
But I do think... Well, I don't know. I don't like people who get all up in people's grammar, but also when the person is an arsehole, like Brian Tamaki, you know, when they're like essentially evil. Like if Donald Trump makes a spelling and grammar mistake, go for it, I reckon. Lay into him.
Yeah. Lay into him for, I think, more than just his grammar.
Yes. To be honest, it's probably the smallest thing.
Let that be the lowest priority in terms of what you're knocking him on. All right, mate. I'm ready for this week's Fact of the Gay.
Oh, yes. I prepared this week.
You've got one.
I've kind of ended up with two things that I wanted to talk about because I was...
Well, go on, then.
Here's the thing as well. I think Fact of the Gay has quite often been a like news story of the week, essentially. So I wanted to go back to our roots, to a little gaby roots, and go back to when we delve into history, right?
Blow off the dust of the history book.
That was me doing that. Set them all at the sea. Oh, was that the dust getting in your face?
Yeah, that's the dust. It blew all the way from Invercargill to Christchurch.
just like the gay movement did. I don't know if it started in Invercargill.
It did, grassroots. That's a bit of a fact of the gay for you. Pride in New Zealand started in Invercargill.
Beautiful. It didn't. And definitely factual.
Yeah.
Although it's got a great... So I'm staying at the Ibis and it's on the main street and it's not often you think this, but I saw this street today and I thought, this is a good street for a parade. Big, wide, just feels like everything's on it. Street room.
I've been in a few parades in my time. One of them was a parade in Christchurch, launching a kids theatre festival.
Oh.
And that was the last parade that I've been in, to be honest.
Yeah.
And there was more people in the parade than there were marching. In fact, no one was watching. We were all just marching. And so I thought, is this really a parade or is this just a group walk? And I'll leave you on that.
A costumed walk. I did the worst parade of all time, right? This was at Botany Mall.
Oh, yes.
It's an outdoor mall. It was the day after I'd graduated from drama school. The day after. I don't know why I accepted this
gig.
I was paid, not very handsomely, to dress up as the gingerbread man in the Botany Santa parade. And I was so hungover that I was literally sicking up in my mouth and swallowing it down during this parade. And there was like cheerleaders flipping around me. And I was walking around as the gingerbread man with a big candy cane in my hand.
Oh, my God. Run as fast as you can from that gig, mate. You should be doing it.
I know. Well, I don't anymore. That was me 5 years ago, and I'm never going back there.
Because look how far you've come.
I have come a long way. I still, you know, I've got a haunting feeling. Just as I say that, I'm like, I'm going to have to put that gingerbread costume back on. And it was definitely, it was made of carpet. It was like, not 3D. What? It was like two stapled together bits of carpet.
No. Oh, that would not be nice on a warm summer's day.
It wasn't. But Merry Christmas to everyone who lives in Botany for that year. So I was reading about someone called Bayard Rustin, right? Who was he was an American leader for the social movements and civil rights, all sorts of things. He was born in 1912 and he died in 1987.
Good long life.
Yes, great black man who fought for civil rights in America. But he also, and not many people know this, but he was gay. He was arrested several times for sleeping with prostitutes, white male prostitutes, before it was legal. But then, which is grim anyway, that he would get arrested for that. But this, what it got me onto was his partner for a lot of his life was a guy called Walter Nagel, who... So in 1982, to kind of like give their relationship some legal verification, Bayard Rustin adopted his partner, Walter Nagel. So he was technically his son. And then I went down a little bit of a rabbit hole, and heaps of people have done this in like civil unions or other recognitions of same-sex relationships legally to get some legal connection to their partner. They have adopted their partner as if they were their child. Isn't that?
Oh, that's very sneaky. It's kind of sad that it has to come to that, to be honest. But also... Like, I guess I can understand in terms of, like, emergencies, you know, you've heard all those stories about partners that have been left out of, you know, hospital rooms and stuff. Because they haven't been, like, legally tied to the person who's in the hospital, and so they haven't been able to visit them and see them as they, like, pass away or anything like that.
Yeah, because they're technically, not your family, apparently. And that's which is so gross. Oof, yuck.
This whole Australian marriage equality... like postal vote thing that's going on at the moment is getting so bleak, and I just feel like more and more the news that I'm reading about it is just more and more it's like not being funny anymore. It's sort of and I really feel for our Australian family over there who are having to put up with that. And in that weekend, that skywriting stuff
that was just so dark and so cruel, man.
So cruel. And for those who don't know the story, did someone hire a private skywriting?
Yeah, you know the people who you would write to normally say something like, Louise, marry me. but instead they wrote, vote no in the sky, which is just, to me it's like, poor, I just think, I always just think of young
kids. I want to talk to that fucking pilot that's like figuring that one out. And when they're just starting the letter N and they're like, should I actually do this? Like, I could get the refund. They can have their money back. It's fine. It's only 4 hours of my time. I don't want to have to commit to this.
Surely at some point in that as well, I'm guessing that this wasn't some kind of like, I don't know. I'm guessing there's not a company that does the skywriting that is so adverse to voting yes as well. Because it would have had to go through so many people, right? Like the leader of that company, the receptionist, I don't know, and then all the way to the pilot.
The skywriting designer.
Yeah.
I don't even know really how those things work. Do they kind of plan them somehow? Or do you just sort of feel it out when you're up there in the plane?
You must draw a little map, right? I reckon you...
It's just such a campy way of like showing that you're bigoted. It's like writing it in the sky. Like even when people like propose with writing in the sky, I'm like, ooh, that's a bit campy, you know?
Yes, it feels like a good way to come out of the closet, really.
Yes, exactly. Well, they're coming out of a closet, and it is the bigot closet.
Yeah,
they're out of a closet. What's that?
Outed as a bigot. Yes. Anyway, I hope everyone out there is voting yes. If honestly, if you listen to this podcast and you're in Australia and you haven't filled out your postal vote yet and you don't fill it out, you suck.
Yeah. There's so much, like, you've got to vote stuff online at the moment because New Zealand's going through its election and then Australia's going through its postal vote. It's just basically every second thing on my Facebook thread is like, please go and vote. To the point where when I did vote for the election, inside a Westfield mall, which just felt like
that's
the beginning of a new
weird.
Age.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like, how? This is quite modern and also too convenient. It kind of took the thrill out of it a little bit.
Yeah.
But it was I was like, it was such a relief because I've been so stressed by everyone's messages being like, you've got to vote. And I was like, oh God, I finally got that out of the way. And I early voted.
I early voted as well. I love everyone's Instagrams of them with their sticker because they're always like so arrogant. They're like, guys, I did my early vote today. It's so easy. You don't even need your ID. You just need to go to one of these places. And it's like, your Instagram followers are probably not the people who need to be educated.
I know. That's the thing I keep thinking about. All my friends keep being like, hey guys, I just want to get out there to you all and just say the importance of voting. I was like, yeah, but like, everyone that all your friends are voters.
None of them are not
voted before you have. I guess it's good to like spread the message.
It is. I totally support it and I did one myself.
Yeah. I mean it's like green smoothies. Like a few people send a picture online with holding their green smoothie. Eventually we're all doing it. You know?
Yeah.
It's gonna be fashionable.
Oh, gross green smoothie in Dunedin this morning. Tell you
what. Oh really?
Yeah.
Just like green food colouring.
Yeah, too much stuff. You know when people put too many things in a smoothie?
Yes. Like, I don't want a salad in here. I don't want like radishes and carrots and parmesan and cheese. Just give me the kale and give me the lemon.
Oh, yeah, I love a little bit of lemonade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't really got a diva of the week this week, to be honest.
Oh, I have one.
Oh, brilliant. Send it through.
This is why I sent you that video, the Queen of the Week. I'm sorry. I've stolen this from you, but I really want to celebrate Aretha Franklin.
I mean, of course.
So, there's a list on the internet of the best VH1 diva performances, right? Which is essential reading for all listeners of this podcast. That's homework. If you haven't, please spend some time.
Please complete it over the weekend. Hungover in bed.
So there's this phenomenal video, which is listed as the number one VH1 Divas video. And I have to credit my boyfriend who showed me this video for the first time.
We were trying to listen to this. It's a concert, right?
Yes, VH1 it's a concert. Divas.
We were trying to listen to this backstage, because backstage of Hudson Hall's, the show I'm doing in Christchurch. Before every show, we listen to like something to kind of get an album or something to get us really in the mood. And I was trying to, Todd was recommending this to me, the co-star. And I was like looking for it, but I couldn't find a version of the whole concert to listen to.
I think there's a few different episodes because there's some, the particular video I'm about to talk about, Whitney Houston isn't in, but she's definitely been in some VH1 Diva. So I think it was a whole series.
Brilliant.
So in celebration of Carole King's song, Natural Woman, at one point on a VH1 Diva special, Carole King, Aretha Franklin, Mariah Carey, Shania Twain, Gloria Estefan, and Celine Dion all together on stage performed Natural Woman. And this is one of the greatest videos of all time. First best thing that happens in it is I'm pretty confident Carole King is meant to sing the first two lines. And you see her go to do it, and then Aretha just starts singing.
Yes.
Then throughout the rest of the song, Aretha just riffs over every single other person's lines. Like, they'll be like, date another day. And then she'll be like, another day. Like,
I was
so
watching
much riffing.
Because I thought it was an Aretha Franklin performance that had backup singers.
That's exactly how it feels.
Yes.
Until about 2 minutes in, enter Celine Dion.
She's not giving away, eh? She's like the only match.
She goes full hard. She hits, I don't know, all the notes in one song. Like, she goes from top to bottom over and over. She steps forward. And you can kind of see everyone else on the line kind of step backwards, and it becomes kind of like Celine versus Aretha. And then the song finishes about 12 times. And it's so good.
I, in the weekend, finally watched Funny Girl, starring Barbara Streisand.
Oh, I've never seen that.
It's really worth a watch.
Yeah.
It is a surprising film. Essentially, it's about like the very first female comedian, and comedian who happens to be female. Mm. I guess if she's the very first, I can say female comedian because it's like this the important device of the film.
Yeah.
Anyway, she becomes more successful than her husband, who is a professional gambler, the modern day version of someone who just like goes on like poker websites. Anyway, she becomes more successful than him, and it becomes a real problem in their marriage.
Wow.
But there's some really interesting devices in the film. There's lots of like freeze frames, and one thing that she loves about this man, this professional poker player, when she falls in love with him, is that he has polish on his nails.
What kind of polish does he have?
He's like a clear nail polish on.
Oh.
And she sings about it.
Oh, should I start wearing clear nail polish?
I was thinking about it. It's like kind of a bold move. Like, you could wear any kind of nail polish, actually.
That's very true.
I'm always embarrassed by the state of my fingers. I definitely, you can see if I've had a stressful week because my, fingertips are bleeding because I've just, bit off my nails so much.
I've got long, beautiful nails. All my sisters are jealous of them because they've all got short, stumpy ones. And I, the only boy in my family, was blessed with, quite long ones that grow very fast and I don't bite them ever because I'm an angel.
I'm a devil. I'm a demon, and I chew my fingernails like carrots. But yes, Barbara is also like one of the ultimate divas.
Absolutely. We've talked
about it before, but you know, when watching this film, there's quite a few scenes where she will turn around, like she'll be like facing a door.
Mm.
She would have just closed the door. She'd be like facing it, and then she'll turn around to the camera slowly and kind of gaze off into the distance.
Yes.
And it happens like 8 times. And every time it happens, I can tell there's no one else in the room. Like there's no scene partner or anything. She's
looking at a mop.
She's like, I'll give you another reaction. You know, and then she's like, okay, rolling for another one of Barbara's amazing reactions.
I love
that. But surprisingly, quite a funny physical performer, old Streisand.
Really?
Yeah, she does a great roller skate number in Funny Girl.
Oh, I would love to see that.
Yeah. But you were saying earlier in the week, though, it's kind of interesting because this whole term of like how diva is connected with gay men, eh?
Yes, and this week, Three, one of the TV channels here in New Zealand, have released their promo for Married at First Sight New Zealand, an international TV show which we're very excited to get here. And
have we had it before?
No, we've had an Australian version. This is the very first time it's been in the New Zealand version.
Wow.
Yeah. And guess what? There's a couple of homos on there. there's a gay couple who will be one of the Married at First Sight couples. And one of them on the promo.
Imagine if you're like, there's one gay man.
And he has to marry a woman.
He's with a straight person.
and the slogan is like, it is a choice. No, well, they've listed out one of the gay men who, by the way, I'll be open. I'm pretty confident I talked to this man on Grindr at some point in my previous life.
Absolutely. Country is tiny.
It's so small.
And then, yeah.
Anyway, it lists them as, so they've each got a catchphrase, like one of them's the comedian and one of them's the perfect princess.
That would be yours.
Yeah. Unfortunately I didn't get the call up and I'm in a relationship. Although my boyfriend has said multiple times recently that he wished he could go on Married at First Sight and that he was very annoyed that he couldn't apply because I got in the way.
That's very odd.
What's more odd is like, of all the reality TV shows you could go on, why would you pick Married?
Yeah.
It's always so bleak. I feel like it's always just people very mad at each other.
What reality TV show would you go on if you could be on one?
Amazing Race. Or probably X Factor.
The Voice?
yeah, The Swan.
oh my God, yeah.
Do you remember that?
I'd be on the Swan too.
That was, if you don't remember The Swan, that was where you got plastic surgery and whoever went, who became the hottest after their plastic surgery won the beauty pageant.
So weird.
What a show.
What a time of our lives.
Anyway, this new, this guy in the promo, he is referred to as the diva, which I thought was a very interesting and weird, it's an interesting phrase anyway, because it is, do you associate it with it being positive or a negative phase in 2017?
Good question. It's a loaded word for me.
Mm-hmm.
I would say diva has a negative connotation, but I feel like gay people and queer people are in a chapter in their lives where they're trying to claim words like diva, like queer,
totally
back. And so that, you know, there's a sense of ownership over those words.
I think it can be a positive word. And I kind of think in terms of it being used to describe straight woman, it's almost has become a positive word in terms of like Beyonce's diva and VH1 divas, like we were talking about. And I think when,
yes.
And sometimes people could be like proudly divas. So as opposed
like
to people.
Like Barbara,
yes.
But yes, they're a demanding diva. They know what they want.
Yeah, exactly. And there shouldn't be a problem with that. I'm going to be a diva. Yeah. Just deal with it.
A diva is a female version of a hustler.
Of a hustler, yeah. Beautifully put, Chris.
Thank you so much for that. It literally just came to me.
That's amazing and inspirational.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would ever... I'm finding it hard to associate anyone I know with being a real diva, or like, I don't know how this man is going to behave on the show to earn him the title of the diva.
It's so bullshit, and it's just honestly like part of New Zealand's like almost slightly tall poppy syndrome bullshit as well. Of
yes.
Like, oh gosh, guys who know what they want and are proud to be outspoken about like having a point of view.
Yeah.
What a diva.
Oh, it's guys like, who oh, have expectations like, for the people around them. Oof, what a diva. Guys who aren't afraid to unleash their emotions. What a bloody diva.
I've definitely been called a diva.
Yeah.
And every time it's been used, it's been in a negative, like, ooh, diva. And I've been like, every time that has been used at me, it's because I've spoken out against something that I felt has been unjust.
Yeah.
You know, whether it be like someone not being paid enough, or you know, there not being enough water or something stupid like that, you know.
Not being enough water.
Like a full like Nicki Minaj pickle juice scenario.
Love it.
Have you seen pickle juice?
Yes, I've definitely seen that. It's
yeah,
beautiful.
That's like the ultimate. That for me is like, if I was to do like a TED talk on divaism, like that would be the opening clip. It's like she's standing up for something that she believes in, and yet she is judged for it.
I love to think about you doing a TED talk on divaism. It's a word, but what does it mean? I'm Chris Parker. Yeah. Let's talk divas.
It's kind of interesting because with Hudson and Halls, like they were the ultimate divas.
Totally.
So it's kind of, I basically every night I'd go out on stage and just act like a complete diva. And it's boss. It's a really good feeling sometimes.
I think you
can be a diva as long as you are fighting for a cause bigger than yourself.
Yes. I divaed out a little bit last night at the show. We're in Dunedin, and
yes,
every night at the show we've had like snacks backstage, you know, wine, yeah, beers, nuts, whatever. And then last night, because the snacks were organised by the venue and not by our tour manager, there was no food, and it was just like Cokes and white wine, and like that was all.
No,
and I was livid and probably unprofessional in a way that I get when I'm hungry, which is like, because I'd skip dinner.
You're like, oh, I have a nut at the theatre.
Yeah, I was like, I'll be able to eat afterwards. But I knew if I didn't eat any food, I was not going to survive to the performance.
Yes.
Luckily, one of the other comedians on the bill had a bunch of almonds and and a bag of chorizos. A huge shout out for chorizos on this podcast.
Yeah, that's why you're on that chorizo buzz.
It was delicious. They're very small, but yum.
I've divaed out my family once.
Yeah.
I was a real diva in the house. Diva in the house could be a great name for my autobiography. But I had a huge one with my family when I discovered that there were no free range, this was like a couple years ago.
Yeah.
There was no free range eggs in the house.
Yes.
And I like couldn't believe it, and I had this huge argument, and they were like, oh, get off your kind of Auckland high horse. And I was like, no, free range eggs is not just like an Auckland thing. It is a global movement. And we started like fighting, and then they just were not listening. So I went up I stormed off to my bedroom, which is on the second story of our house. And then
cool, two stories, very cool.
Yes. And then the argument kept happening between floors now. Like, I was yelling to the ground level.
Yes.
And I was sort of on the stairs now, still fighting about the eggs.
Yeah.
And then my mum came upstairs to meet me on the second level. We had it out again. We're screaming at the top of our lungs.
Wow.
And then I stormed off a third time onto our roof because you could access the top of the roof.
Yeah.
And then mum pursued up the stairs and met me on the roof and was like, "What's your problem?" And I was like, "I just feel like if you care about something in this family, you're mocked for it." And then we were like, I was like weeping and weeping and weeping. At this point, I hadn't come out to my mum yet. She's like, "What's going on?" And I was just like, "I just feel like we should be having free range eggs in this house."
Okay, that's so amazing. I can't believe your house had a rooftop garden, but you weren't getting free range eggs.
Exactly. Exactly.
I had a similar diva, diet based diva moment. I reckon probably my most diva. 8 years old, I became best friends with a girl called Tanuka, who's from Sri Lanka, and she was a vegetarian, and her whole family were vegetarians. And so I decided to become a vegetarian, and I was a fucking asshole about it. 8-year-old monster. And I didn't, like, because I didn't replace, you know, protein and meat with anything else. I didn't know what I was doing. All I would do was like sit down for dinner and then be very upset there wasn't a vegetarian option, and then like go around my family and my friends at school and be like, "Do you like the movie Babe? Yeah, well, if you like that movie, then how can you eat bacon?" And this lasted for 2 solid weeks.
That is amazing. Hey, speaking of, we were talking about you were talking about choice before. This is like one last thing I want to bring up this episode.
Great.
Oh, fudge. Oh, I put my laptop under my bed and now I can't find it.
Oh, no.
Because I was going to read a comment, because I have got into like the comment section on the Press Facebook page.
That's a great passion project, Chris. Congratulations.
Yeah, I'm an everyday hero fighting everyday battles. Yeah. But basically, this story came out about the head of Q Canterbury, which is the queer society. I don't know what of Canterbury, like the university maybe?
It's like a club.
Or is it just...
It's like a university club. You don't know because you never went to a normal university, but there's like Clubs Day and there's all these different clubs. One of them's Q Canterbury.
I thought maybe it could have been like all of Canterbury.
No, it's just at the uni, I think. The head of gay in Canterbury.
The head of the gays in Canterbury. And... Okay, so anyway, there's this picture came out of him, or like a story came out about him sort of devoting his, showing his dedication towards the National Party. He's like a young Nat.
Oh yes, I saw this. They were sharing a photo of him, mate, and he was like, "I'm proud to break the stereotype and be a gay National supporter."
Uh-huh. Mm. Which obviously didn't go down well. And there was lots and lots and lots of like comments and hatred sort of thrown at him, being like, he should stand down as leader and president of Q Canterbury because we shouldn't be having like a strong political bias.
Yes.
Also, the head of the party voted against same-sex marriage.
Yeah, gross.
Marriage equality, yeah. So he, you know, it seems kind of strange that this person is also who, you know, that he shows an affiliation with that party. Yes. Then he decided to resign, and then the press wrote about that article saying that he was forced to quit.
Yeah, my angry lefty snowflakes.
And obviously put that up on Facebook. And this is a real frustration of mine, is when the like staff or the press or the Dominion Post put up a story about like our community or like women's rights or anything like that, and it going like it has a slightly negative spin to it, and they'll like open up the comment section and there's just like flood of like these horrible people who've finally got an outlet and a point, you know, that they've always had to say.
Yes.
And it's been validated by one tiny example and one tiny article.
Yeah.
And they just dig in deep. So anyway, this one guy posts a meme. So this is about the story from the president who'd resigned over his political leanings. Oof. And he posted the meme from the Hangover movie circa 2009?
Yes. One time I watched it 3 times in one day.
Oh, I've not seen the movie.
It's a sad. You'll know the character then. Yeah.
But is it that actor? Is it Dr. Ken? Is it the same actor?
Yeah, Ken Jeong.
Gong Jong.
He actually was a doctor who became a comedian.
It's incredible.
Mad respect.
Anyway, it is a picture of him, and it says, "So long, gay boys." And he just posts that. And then underneath says, "No intent to offend anyone who chooses to be gay as their sexual preference." But the quote stands, and I find the irony to apply the quote to the situation humorous.
What? That doesn't make any sense. Yeah,
no. But I like that he's trying to be smart about it.
Yeah.
And I just was like reading over and over this comment. And I was like, don't comment back, Chris. Don't comment back. And then I did. And then I deleted it. And then I thought about it again. I was like, nah, I'm going to comment. So I rewrote the comment.
Yes.
I just read it one more time. "No intent to offend anyone who chooses to be gay as their sexual preference. But the quote stands, and I find the irony to apply the quote to the situation humorous." Doesn't really make sense.
No.
But what really frustrates me is his "no intent to offend." It's like, well, you are being offensive, so your apology is null.
Yeah.
It
doesn't matter what your intent is. If it's offending, it's yes. Still, and what is your intent if not to offend? What's the who is the target of that joke then? I don't know.
So I write back to him, "Look, I just find the joke a bit lazy and unnecessary, to be honest. What are you doing? What are you adding to this conversation that's not just to laugh at the LGBTQIA? Also, my sexuality is not a choice." He's commented back, and I just saw this today.
Oh my gosh, what did he say?
It is the most typical response. I love it so much. "The joke was lazy. I didn't even make the meme." It was from Google.
Oh, if you'd made it, that would have been cool.
I was like, that's not what I mean by a lazy joke, by the way. He's like, I don't care how you found it or how you made it. "If this is causing you distress, I'll remove it as it wasn't to add anything other than a laugh, not at a person for their sexual preference, but just at this person who coincidentally is gay and with the Mr. Chow from the movie Hangover, famous for that line." It's like, oh, okay. "Like, there are far worse things on Facebook to concern your time. Do you take offense when someone calls you gay? Why does it matter? Stop concerning yourself with the opinion of others who are insignificant to you as a person. I feel I'm one of these people to you. Look, if this case involved a straight man and there was an element of humor which could be represented by a meme and had my interest, then I would have replied accordingly. Just because it mentions the word gay doesn't make it an attack post." "And in all honesty, you're stating that your sexuality is not a choice. I will semi-agree with you on that. Though sexuality may be a choice for some, others are born with that sexual preference, which comes to surface usually during the year of puberty. It is not a choice, but a sense of natural occurrence and selection in the animal kingdom."
Oh, I'm so sorry. I think I just melted into a puddle as you read that out. And I'm never returning again.
Glorious? Ugh. This is like, I love that thing of those dudes, those like straight dudes who are just like, "We're just animals from the animal kingdom."
Okay. Here's what I have to say about this, and this is a thing that happened on the weekend. So I think sometimes people think they are okay with gays, but they think it's still they can still use the word "that's gay" to describe something negative, right? Because they're aware of what they're doing, and because they're aware, it's not offensive. And I think that's a very yes. like that's an opinion you probably have if you don't have many gay friends, right?
Yes.
But you still want to be aware. So the same, here's the thing. I went to a house party over the weekend, and this house, which is filled with all white people, had a gollywog in their house that they
Yikes.
Used as a doorstop.
No.
Yes. Yeah, it was one of the worst things. It's so, so reprehensible.
What did you do? You just didn't do anything.
So my boyfriend, who is African, right? And yeah. I don't know if I want to get us in trouble, but he stole it and he threw it into a rubbish bin.
No, good. Fucking good.
Because that's exactly the attitude of like, we know that it's offensive, but like for us, like we don't have anything against black people, so we're allowed to have one because we're just having a laugh at that with you, you know? It's ridiculous.
It's shit.
Yeah.
It's so shit. And your boyfriend had the complete right to do that because
absolutely,
and like if they have a problem with like, hey, I spent $10 on that racist toy, then yeah. there's a great he's got a great conversation for that for the, you know his reasoning behind that.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, it's so hard in those social situations where you see something that's wrong or you hear something that's incorrect and offensive, and you've got a responsibility to either keep silent about that or speak up and do something about it.
Yeah.
And recently I'm like, oh, I just don't want it to be awkward. I don't want to bring down the vibes, but also like the vibes are racist or the vibes are homophobic. And yeah, there's probably a, I need to practice like actually speaking up against that and being like how's a way that you can just like bring the truth and be like, hey, I'm actually not all right with that, and just I need to call you on that because it's pretty shitty.
Yeah.
And we can still be friends, but I feel like you need to fix that.
I'd love to be able to call people in the moment at all times.
Yeah, it's like it takes a lot of bravery.
Yeah.
But also it's worse to be in a situation where you feel attacked or you feel marginalized because you are, that's the, because the result of someone's naive behavior.
Totally.
Oof. Yeah.
You know, for two shitty little divas, we sure put out the smarts today.
I really pulled a diva moment just at the end of that podcast. Your boyfriend was a total diva, and I love that.
Yeah, he was a total diva, and he was absolutely right to be one.
Really, honestly, I feel like we need to be more divas more often. Let's just diva out. That's going to be my word for 2018. I'm prepping for the year already.
Yeah, find one moment every day to be a diva.
Yeah, fuck yeah. Hey, on that, let's tie up this potty.
Hey, thank you so much, everyone, for listening.
And thanks, Big Pipe.
We love you.
You're so great. You're the ultimate diva.
Yeah, you're a big, badass diva who gets what she wants, and I love that about you.
Bless up.
I'm sorry, Mom. It's not a phase.